Guys, I felt so much hope. And what God is salting, what he is filling the air with the true gospel, or the more of the complete gospel, angels are really happy. Say amen, you guys, right? The Holy Spirit is very happy whenever we start to talk about the cross, because Paul says, I know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. In other words, I'm going to say some things that may awaken some things, and I'm only here for one day. That's it. This is my 1 hour right here, whatever it is, maybe 5 hours. All right, no kidding. I stop preaching when I get hungry. And I'm going to say some things that I believe that are some necessary things that have to be said in such a good way. And first, let me just start off. God is love. Amen. He doesn't have it. He is it. For God to cease to love, he will cease to be God. He is perfect love. And if there's going to ever be what we call a last days revival, it's going to be the awakening of the perfect love of the Father. Come on, you guys, right? And so I'm going to be talking some things. I'm just so overflowing with gratitude because of you. Good things are turning, shifting, expanding, and enlarging. So let me just pray. Father, I want to thank you that you are inside of us, that we are the temple of you, and that you dwell within mankind. And Father, we pray that veils of religion would tear down in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that could make this real and genuine. Just right now, lift up your hands and open yourself up to the Holy Ghost. Right now, in your way, I don't know how you could do it, but just ask the Holy Spirit to make aware, that you'll be made aware. Say amen. Say with me, I want to be aware of this great salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Isn't God good? The Lord has given me a lot of random thoughts, and he says, you know, I love studying the Bible. I'm not kidding you. When I say this, I'm allowed to do this. I'm a full-time itinerant minister. This is what I do. But lately, I've been having things wherever I go called table talks, and I'm having one-on-one conversations, and I'm seeing more people turn to Jesus in the past 3 months than my 5 years put together. People are becoming awakened to God. Come on, say amen. I've always been awakened. And this is what changed. I'm telling you, this is what changed. I no longer tell people what to believe about God. This is what changed. I am now telling people what God believes about them. Since then, you talk about healings, and my son and I, Wade, we always talk. He said, Dad, I'm coming home again. He lives in Orlando. He's on the Jesus Image worship team. Man, I'm telling you, just God is just using him. And he said, Dad, I'm coming home so we could talk. We talked for 4 or 5 hours. All we talk about is Jesus and what we're gaining. And so he is seeing this. He says, Dad, I'm seeing it. I'm no longer telling people what to believe about God anymore. I am telling them what God believes about them because of the cross of Jesus Christ. You guys with me on this? Now, some of you are going to be rattled with some thinking here. I'm okay with that because anytime we have questions, that's God stirring us to ask them. Say amen, you guys, right? And then and the Lord said to me, you know, Ed, you know that I am the answer to all your questions, but I'm going to start questioning all your answers. You know what I'm talking about? Then basically, he's saying, if your enlightenment is not causing you to love yourself more and love people around you, you're not enlightened at all. You guys know what I'm talking about? Even your enemies. And I'm like, well, then, what? I know the earthly love, but do we understand the agape love of God, that perfect love? You guys know what I'm talking about? And so the cross and just this, watching that, if we could just see the cross and what it really entails. Come on, are you guys with me on this? You will never again have a guilty conscience for the rest of your life. Never, ever a guilty conscience. Ever, once we see the cross, the death, resurrection, and the most important thing is the ascension. The ascension is a whole nother realm. We could see the ascension. Oh my goodness. What that really means. Oh, he sat on the throne. No, he just didn't sit on the throne like sitting on a toilet. He's just... You guys good? All right. All right. So, Holy Spirit, I want to thank you. Today's altar call, I really feel like sometimes we hear a message and we go away fast. And really not take the time to really allow that message to keep dripping. You guys with me on this? And a lot of times we just don't take the time for that. And but when we do take the time for that, it's amazing how much more he's able to speak to you concerning with what was just mentioned. You guys with me on this? And so I want to start off. This is not quite the main message. But whenever we see that our salvation, now we use salvation as a place that we're going to heaven. Well, that is a pagan mindset. Salvation going to heaven. The Hebrew mindset is heaven coming to earth where you are. You guys with me on this? And that's why when people say, I can't wait till the rapture, then why did Jesus said, Father, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but leave them in. You guys with me on this? I believe that something of a cat being caught up. That's why when the Bible says two people be working in the field, one will be taken, the other one left behind. And that is not a rapture. That is not a rapture. After looking at all the studies, and it means talking about, it's not talking about one will be taken. Well, man, where's he going, man? I'm left stuck. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is this. When the word is being preached, one will be raptured up to the revelation of that. And the other one's going to be stuck on earth because he didn't get it. It just went one ear out the other. You guys with me on this? And so it's amazing how much God is so loving. He's so loving. I'm getting more and more overwhelmed in how God is love. I am so overwhelmed with that. I just can't, like, I'm just going to talk until I say something. But let the Holy Spirit make this real. Let's just forget about what's going on at business and at home. Let's look at him. Like, the worship song was not, all the worship was filled with hope. And like, wow, this is so ripe. Some were taken, others were left behind, whatever, for whatever reason. But it doesn't mean that God left you behind. It just means, well, let's shake off the weight that so easily entangles us. Amen, you guys with me on this? And so, you know, first, I just want to say this, that I don't have to tell you anything that you don't already know, okay? And I'm going to take a little bit of a detour, a rest stop from this anointing road right now. I don't have to tell you anything that you don't already know. If you ever study the word first in 1 John, 1 John, John was 90 years old. He's in his 90s when that book was written. He was the oldest lasting disciple. All the other disciples died in their, 40s? He died in 90s. I mean, outlived the disciples. And his last message was, oh, so many mixture thoughts are coming in, but stay in love. You guys with me? Stay, keep yourself. It says in Jude even, keep yourself inside the love of God while you see all the turmoil that's going on around you. Amen, you guys? Amen. And Jesus, when he came to reveal the love of the Father. I love Jesus' words when he said, hey, none of you and no mankind has ever known the Father except me. Isn't that an amazing statement? Jesus said, take any Old Testament prophet. They did not know the Father. So he basically said, despite of your thousands of years of Bible study, you don't know the Father. I have come to reveal the Father. And if you don't see it in the life of Jesus, whatever's going on and being said, you have every right to question it. Amen, you guys? Am I making sense, you guys? I guess what I'm saying is this reality of Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, the Bible wasn't written to reveal Christ in the Bible. Oh, Shabba. Oh, man. When the Lord said to me 2 years ago, he says, you know, when you read the Bible, you're trying to find Christ in the Bible, right? I said, yeah, you got to know the scriptures. He says, no, it's not why the letters were written. The Bible was not written to reveal Christ in the Bible. It was written to reveal Christ in you. The hope of what?
Glory.
Let's say it again, hope of glory, right? Hope of glory. Now, I'm going to say a lot of things so that Karen could straighten it all out, Pastor Karen. The word glory, it's not some kind of mystic cloud that comes into a room. It's not this, I don't know, even feeling. The Hebrew word for glory, now again, when I say Hebrew and Greek, you don't have to know Hebrew and Greek to understand this. And just follow your spirit. Amen, you guys, right? The word glory is the word opinion. It's the word opinion. God's opinion towards you is love in perfection. So when it says Christ in you, the hope of God's opinion inside of you. And what is it? Holy, beloved, and accepted because of that finished work of Yeshua. Amen or oh me? I'm telling you, just park on that. Every time you see the word glory in the New Testament, it means God's opinion. Like Jesus said in John 17, Father, take them to where they are, to where I am, and they may see my glory. What does glory mean? Opinion. Father, take them where they are, bring them where I am, that they may see my opinion is that they are perfect, holy, and blameless. The beginning of relationship with God is innocence. Isn't this really cool, you guys? I prayed for this old timer. In his 80s. I'm almost there, man. Jesus. And my message, do you know how I start off with all my message with every person that I meet? Even today, even this morning, even yesterday, I start off with, hey, do you know God's at peace with you? God's at peace with you? Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're going to make this so real. And then it has to be the Spirit revealing this to you. Once you see God is at peace with you, and you, I'm jumping all over the place, because you understand, and that's why we keep meeting together, is to find language and for it to become more enlightened, you know, about the cross and death, resurrection, ascension. Once you see God's at peace with you, I promise you, you'll be at peace with every human being that you'll ever meet, regardless of their present condition. Promise you. It will happen. Amen or amen, you guys. I got a lot. My life has so changed. Man, my mind is running through right now. I don't want to embarrass any one of my family members, but so many of my son's friends are turning to Jesus. It's so awesome. Isn't it good? You know, in 1 John 2:20, it says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know." Okay, I'm going to say it again. You have, and we say, I have an anointing from the Holy One, and I know all. The word know means I instinctively, it's inside of me. It's instinct inside. The anointing doesn't give you something new. It reveals what's already in you. You guys with me on this? So in verse 27, I love this part. It's 2:27. "As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you." Now that, be careful with that one, because Satan's going to mess you up with that one if you don't hear it right. "But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and not a lie, just as it has taught you, you are abiding in him." The anointing teaches you. The word teach means healing. You guys with me on this? The anointing heals you to tell you, hey, you're already abiding in him. He's not a distant, separate God. He's in you and you are in him, and that's what the anointing does. You are not separate. God is not separate from mankind. Isn't that beautiful? That's the gospel, man. That's the good news. Well, why are they doing all these drugs? Because there's a veil. There's a veil. You guys are my family, right? I'm on staff here. I know Pastor Karen for 30 years. My God, that's a long time. And yeah, I know, it's a long time. And I don't know how to say this. I'm going to be careful because it's honorable. But a lot of my kids' friends come over and they drink, right? And I said, "Give me your car keys. You're not going to drive drunk." So I grab the keys. But I am so having fun with them. You know why? Because I see their value before what they're doing wrong. You guys with me on this? The Bible says in Luke 15, when the parable of the lost coin never lost its value. It was lost. It wasn't the lost coin's repentance and diligent prayers and fasting and feeling so bad for its lostness. The owner found the coin. Not because the coin cried out for more. You guys with me on this? So once we started seeing their value, within a short time, they stopped getting drunk. Because now they're starting to see the love of God that's already in them. You guys with me on this? Something else is motivating them. Something else is compelling them, which is love. You guys with me on this? Because they understood what took place. The death, resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus. You guys with me on this? And so when they says you have no need anyone to teach you, in other words, I got to find a counselor. I got to find someone to teach me. I got to get a book. How about just say, God, I'm going to turn inside where you are. I need you to teach me. Who are you? Amen? Once you understand who God is, that's when you discover who you are. Is God holy? So are you. Is God perfect? So are you. Is God righteous? So are you. It's a gift. I don't feel it. I didn't ask you how you feel. It's the truth. It's the truth. The truth will actually turn your feelings around. It really does. Amen? Isn't God good? You guys getting this a little bit? You abide in him. So everything that the Holy Spirit is doing, everything, is to point you. You are abiding in him. You live in him. You guys with me on this? So I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. You don't need anyone to teach you these things. Now, this is what I mean. It means he himself, the word anointing means to be entangled with, to intertwine, to rub, and to smear. See, the anointing is in you. It's intertwining with you, inside of you. But most people still sit with veils in their eyes, but that does not make God disappear. Isn't that beautiful? Most people, honestly, I mean, and I get it. Yeah, it happened to me many times. Many times I'm sitting like, I don't get it. But it doesn't make God disappear. He's within. Amen? But this doesn't stop John from writing. He's not saying, well, since you know all these things, I'm not going to say anything to you anymore. But he goes on to say, because you know it. What he is basically saying is, hey, listen, I'm going to give you a language, maybe words or poetry, to bring to light what's already inside of you. So the Bible doesn't tell you anything new. It reveals the newness of you. Amen or oh me, you guys. Then once you start to see that about yourself, I promise you, you'll never have a judgment towards any human being on earth. It's not what people believe that determines their value. Amen? It's not what they believe that determines their value in the sight of God. It's what God already values them already. It's not the proper doctrines. It's not the dogmas of, we better know this stuff. No, we live this stuff. He's within. Amen or homie, you guys? Isn't God good? Amen. Man, God is so good. Man, so when he says, I'm writing, he says, listen, this anointing bears witness within you. I remember many times I talked to a lot of people, like a lady in an airplane. She's like, yeah, you know, my sister's dying and blah, blah, blah. And man, you know, I'm not sure. And finally I said, wait a minute. I said, you know, God's not angry at all. He's never pissed off. Never. Do you know God does not judge people anymore? Uh-oh. Religion hates this. Do you know why? Because we have been already judged on the cross with him. The cross was our judgment. We were with him on the cross. We've already been judged. Since we've already been judged, now we've been already raised to new life. That's beautiful. Instead of Jesus killing the whole human, instead of God killing the whole human race because we were in gross darkness, the Bible says it was gross darkness that we were in. Instead of wiping out the human race, he came as the image of the human race, and he came to bear our judgment instead of wiping out the whole human race. And also, when he was raised from the dead, the entire human race was raised from the dead. In complete righteousness. For some of us, this is so new. Man, when that first time I heard this, more and more it became more clear. I felt like a calf looking at a new gate. Where did that come from? I was almost like Job. I had to put my hand over my mouth to say, I know nothing. Teach me the gospel. Ever said, Lord, teach me the gospel. When I started to see this love, this perfect hope love, and the finished work of the cross, it's a whole new world of living. It's not just forgiveness of going to heaven. It's forgiveness and living in union with him right now in his life, living through you, touching the whole world around you to awaken other people's hearts. Amen or oh me, you guys. Let me ask you something. If you're a son, can you unson yourself? But you can't. That's why I love what it says. First Peter says, I will always be ready to remind you of these things because you already know, and I want to stir you, that's 2 Peter 1:12, and I want to stir you up by way of reminder. Now, that word reminder is huge. The word reminder means to be consciously aware what's already true. Sometimes we forget what's already true. How many people ever woke up in the wrong side of the bed? Like someone says, wake up on the right side of the bed. Anyways, to where you just feel like, oh man, you know, I feel heavy, I feel weighty. God, is your love around? And the Bible says, wait a minute, stir yourself up to remind you, become consciously aware right here. Start there and give him thanks. Amen or me, you guys, right? And so the act of reminding means to stir. Now, this is the word restir. How many people ever heard the word awakening? Right? Do you know that's what the word stir means right here? I want to stir your sincere minds by way of reminder. It's the word awakening. Do you know that I hosted two revivals in my life. I'm talking true awakenings in an entire city. One was in Virginia, to where I preached that one Sunday, ended up being there for 3 months every day, right? Except for Thursdays. No, except for Wednesday and Thursdays. I had to come home, get more clothes, drive back out. Brought my family and so on. Do you know the atmosphere of the presence of God? Now, when we say the presence of God, we're not talking about something that's like, but the atmosphere of God's opinion towards us was love. And these college kids did not want to move. They were so impacted of this love that they went back and repented to their mothers and their fathers. And their mothers and fathers came to revival and says, I've come here to find out what is going on with my daughter because she said she loved us. I'm telling you, man, this revival is not like what we're really imagining. It's going to be so beautiful. It's going to be like walking into a honeymoon suite of love. Amen or oh me, you guys. Isn't God good? God is not separate from you. He was never, ever separated from mankind. Well, what about the scriptures? You know, there's one separation. The separation was in man's mind that's towards God, but not God towards man. You guys with me on this? This one guy walked out of the bank when we had a One Faith gathering. He had a box full of cash. Box full of cash. My friend, I said, man, what are you going to do with all that cash? He goes, I own strip clubs. You guys remember the story a little bit, maybe? I own strip clubs. We're like, cool, you want to come to church? I'm the pastor there. We want you to come. He goes, you don't want me to come. Look, I own strip clubs. I don't give a rip. I want you to be my invited guest, and I want you to come. He goes, I'm Jewish. Well, so was Jesus. In other words, we're just going back and forth. He goes, but man, I don't believe how you believe. I said, that doesn't determine your value towards God. Despite of what you believe, he believes in you. His value is already on you. He goes, man, I've never heard this stuff. Now you're hearing it. You guys with me on this? He was stunned He didn't hear the words. He felt the energy of what was being said, that it didn't make sense to him, but he was saying, yeah, I know. You guys with me on this? This perfect love. And he's beautiful. Jesus is beautiful. And so are you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're beautiful. Should I say that? Yeah. You really are. Oh, man. You know what the word sincere mind means in 2 Peter chapter 3? It says, verse 1, and which I'm stirring up your sincere mind. Later on, he says sincere faith. That word sincere is a Greek word that means unmixed, without mixture. And so how many people ever have a wrestling match between God loves me? Yeah, but he's a God of judge. No. He loves. Judgment's already been done. Well, what about these? There's a lot of like, yeah, but. And the Lord says, you know, the position of your butt is going to determine how you think. Yeah, but I have to go to one thing. God is love. That's where it all starts. You guys with me on this? That's called the hope of salvation, folks. That's why the Bible, Paul says, man, this message that I have is scandalous. It's called foolishness. It's scandalous. Well, no, you got to do something. No, you don't have to do zip. Uh-oh. You know, only thing that God requires is that we die. Die to all your efforts. Die to all your whatever you're trying to do. And just be absorbed in this love. And I promise you, you'll be doing more in love than you ever would thinking God is separate from you and trying to bring him in. We don't do anything to bring God in. We lift the veil so people can see. Am I making sense, you guys? Isn't God good? You guys are looking at me really strange. Holy Spirit, make it real, all right? All right, now, I'm going to end it off with this because all of a sudden I got this craving for chicken wings. There's a few. Remember, the anointing teaches you. The Bible heals you of any kind of leftover leaven of a Pharisee mindset or religious mindset. To heal you, you abide in him. When that becomes a living reality, and it will, it does, because he said, God says, I'm going to complete this work. It will. When that becomes a living reality, it's then you bear fruit. It's no longer a struggle from that point on. Amen? Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, it says that we attain the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding. You guys with me on this? The word full assurance of understanding. So you and I are on this journey that we come, in Colossians 2:2, that we come to the full assurance of understanding. Not the story of the cross, but actually entering into that. Am I making sense, you guys? I know we could talk about the history of it, and I think that's where it begins. But to see the implications of the incarnation, God living with man, God with man, that's huge. That's huge. No, God's distant. You guys with me on this? I came up with a list about once the full assurance of understanding comes, it's going to bear a certain fruit. And so I was in the airplane just like really flying high. What happens when you come to the full assurance of understanding? Number one, there's no fear of separation. There's no fear of shame, no fear of guilt whatsoever to draw near to God. No guilty conscience. I got to know the Bible. No. The Pharisees knew the Bible. But knowing the Bible helps you to see the reality of what's already true in you. It's not adding anything to you. It's revealing what's already true about you. Am I making sense, you guys? To draw near God with such a clear conscience because of the work of Jesus Christ. You know what else full assurance of understanding comes? loving the body of Christ. You will love the body of Christ because of the hope of salvation. You will never have an issue with anyone in the room. Uh-oh. We all have issues. You guys with me then? Another one, full assurance brings a God's sense of value towards you, and then you will value every human being that you come in contact with. Every human being. The lost coin never lost its value. Am I making sense? The sense of love overwhelms you with gratitude and worship. Worship becomes no longer begging. Worship becomes thankful. You give thanks, you dance, you shout, say, wow, thank you. You guys with me on this? No, we got to worship until he comes. He's here. You guys with me on this? It brings that there's no consciousness of sin. You got to pray more. You got to do more. You got to draw closer. You got to do some stuff. It's a restful union where prayer changes. Your prayer changes. It's something, it just shifts from God, you're separate, to God, we're in union. Everything changes. You declare things as though as they were. And it's with such confidence. Am I making sense? There's no self-awareness. What about me? You become more God aware. Am I making sense? Isn't this really good news? Then let me end it with this. And this is I had a lot to tell. I had a lot to share, but it says, may the God of hope, in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Romans 5, it talks about how that hope, there is no shame in hope. You know what the word shame simply means? There's someone more inferior. I'm inferior to someone. You know, God says, I don't want you to be inferior towards me. You and I are face to face. Now, he's holy. Don't get me wrong. He's holy, but so are you with him. You know, so much comes out of this. There's so much life comes out of this. My son so far healed over 12 people where he works at Lowe's. Supernatural healings came place. One guy was in a wheelchair, came in a wheelchair, fell off the scaffolding. My son works at Lowe's in one of the departments. He goes, what happened to you? I fell off the scaffolding. He goes, yeah, my hip's all shattered and, you know, and I got to get stuff for my guys and everything else. And Wade says, well, could I pray for you? You know, I said, Wade, you're going to get fired. He goes, well, what happened was he wasn't looking for the healing. It was compassion flowing through him. He felt the same value that he had, that God has towards my son, Wade. Wade was able to pass that same value onto that man. You guys with me on this? And Wade says, could I pray for you? And he says, Dad, the strange thing about it, I didn't even know how to pray for healing. All I felt was this love of God that was towards this man. Finally, Wade says, Lord, touch him. That's all he prayed. It wasn't because he couldn't pray long. He says, Lord, touch him. That's all he said. And the Lord says, now what? And he says, well, check your hip. And the man stood up and he was totally healed, 100%. Walked, left the wheelchair in Home Depot. At Lowe's. Left it there. Last week, this was about 5 months ago. Last week, the man comes in, says, you're the guy that prayed for me, right? He goes, man, it was Jesus. I want you to, when he got healed, he's another religion descent. He goes, I don't believe the way you believe. He says, doesn't matter. God believes in you because of the finished work of the cross. The cross, all beliefs ends at the cross. He goes, well, but I don't believe in Jesus. It doesn't matter. You got healed in Jesus' name. Last week, he comes in. He says, you're the guy that I got healed with. Wade's testimony. He goes, yeah. My sister's in the car with a busted ankle. Could I bring her in for you to heal her? Wade says, man, let me, yeah, go ahead. Bring her. He's like, oh, God, I don't know if I could do this. And all of a sudden, compassion. This compassion of hope just starts welling up for this. The long story short, she comes in with the boot, walked out without the boot. totally healed 100%. He wasn't looking for the healing as much as the love. And I'm telling you, Jesus was not first operating in power. Now, you know, the church lingo, we need the power. No, we need love. Love believes all things. Amen. You guys with me on this? Jesus moved out of compassion before power ever came. Follow your compassion, not the need. Am I making sense, Paul? Am I speaking in tongues? You guys are looking at me like really strange. You guys got it? This is beautiful. This is the gospel. What's that? Oh, no. No, this is beautiful. I know you're thinking. This is beautiful. I'm so excited for you because I'm telling you, the more you talk about not what someone did for you, died on the cross, that someone that died as you, with you, absorbed you, and then raised from the dead, absorbed it with you. Isn't God good? At this one church, I said, we don't pray to remove healing. We pray to absorb it because Christ is in you. And if Christ is in you, wherever sickness is absorbed in, it's got to die. And this church now is experiencing more and more healings than ever before because they saw it like, oh, yeah, that's right. Isn't that really beautiful? Anyways, let me end it right here because the wings are calling out my name. I love you guys. I said a lot. Remember, the word glory means God's opinion. It's so, oh, thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our lives. Amen? Every single one of you, we have a salvation which is not in any way linked to your efforts. Not in any way linked to your efforts. You became the object of salvation, not the reason for it. Isn't that beautiful? Now, the salvation I'm talking about, it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, I pray for their salvation. That word salvation doesn't mean that they give their life to Jesus and so they could go to heaven. That word salvation means free from the harassment of an enemy. That's what the word salvation means. If we have a guilty conscience, we need salvation. Because a guilty conscience is harassment. Am I making sense, you guys? If we're judging anyone, me, if I'm judging anyone, I need salvation or not going to heaven, but I need to be freed from the harassment of judging people, what they're doing wrong. Amen or oh me, you guys? Isn't God good? All right, 1 Peter 3:15, then I'm done. Here's the end result of what's going to happen. All this in the air, how the air is being salted with the true further understanding of the gospel. Right now, we just kind of know partially. We know the story. You know what I mean? We understand it, but the fullness of it. Because when we understand the fullness of it, things will begin to shift. I love it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctified Christ as Lord in your hearts, always ready to make a defense to everyone who asks to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. The word reverence doesn't mean I'm going to revere the message. It means treat that person like they're a son of the living God. You guys with me on this? So it's not a hope. Please hear me out of this, then I'll let you go. It's not a hope of going to heaven, although that's the end, the result of it. You know what I mean? When we die, we are. But it's a hope that is presently alive and daily involved in your life. Follow along. During the midst of when Peter wrote this, they were in the midst of heavy persecution, heavy harassment from the outside. You guys with me? For being a Christian, we haven't made. We're not suffering at all. not to the point of shedding of blood. But these guys were shedding blood. So they were being harassed to the point where the religious people were taking away the believers' properties. Because the book of Deuteronomy says, if anyone turns to another god, take away their properties. Their properties were being taken away. They were being heavily taxed. The Christians were being so heavily taxed by the Roman Empire. Because the Roman Empire had a law. Listen to this law. The Roman Empire had a law that if you only believed in one god, you will be taxed. Seriously, I've read the history of that during the time, life of the history of Peter. If you believe there's only one god, because they believed in many many gods. But if you believe only one god, you're taxed. Isn't that something? So the Christians not only were being harassed by the Romans, but they're being harassed by the Jews by saying Jesus is not the only god. You guys remember talking about and everything else. And so that's why 1 Peter was written. You understand that backdrop right now? So listen to this. But I want you to notice. Look at this verse. Be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks about you. Here's what's going to happen. I promise you it's going to happen. Once we come more, and as I come to the end, who will give me 10 more minutes? Raise your hand. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. 70. Okay, got it. Another hour, Karen. I have to do that. I just love, I heard that before. All right, you'll hear it again. All right, anyways. But look at this. Pastor Karen, look at this. Everyone who asked you to give an account for the hope, here's what's going to happen. I want you to know it was the unbelievers who started the conversations with the Christian. Not the Christian going up to an unbeliever to shove a track in their face. You guys with me on this? It wasn't the believers going to the unbelievers by saying, you got to hope in Jesus. In those days, it was a persecution. In those days, you lived very low in your faith to where you did not confess him out loud because they were raising children and they didn't want to be hauled off to jail. It's not that we're afraid, but they just said, no, I don't want to go to jail. That's okay. You guys with me on this? It was the unbelievers. Now, hear me out in this, please. Once you start to see the hope of salvation and the hope of the cross, it was the unbelievers who looked at these believers who, because of persecution, the believers kept their mouths shut. They had to live so inconspicuous, so low and quiet, but the believers were caught because it was the way that the believers were living. Wasn't so much what they were saying, it was the hope that they had in their eyes. They did not have a depressed look on their face in the midst of persecution. Isn't that beautiful? They were living in such a way that they radiated this hope in everything they did without a word. It was a way of life. It was a way of hope. It was so much hope that this isn't, look at that, verse 15. It was the unbeliever said, tell me how you do this. You don't complain. You don't whine. You're being harassed. Tell me how you're doing this. In attitude, you guys with me? Hope, hear me out in this. Hope begins in an attitude. It starts here. Hope begins in an attitude. In an attitude, how do you know in attitude that you don't have to say anything to change a room with an attitude? Who raises teenagers? When they came home with an attitude, what happened to the air? You guys know what I'm talking about? So attitude doesn't have a language. It has an energy. You guys with me on this? The definition, that's right. Attitude means, here's what attitude means. I have a look on my face. I have a look on my eye. There's a way I do things that announces millions of words without a word. It's the way I see life and how I talk to people. You guys with me on this? This hope attitude, it flows from thoughts in your head. It does, you guys. Hear me out on this. Which includes thinking of myself with hope, then thinking about everyone else of what I think about them in hope. You with me on this? Philippians, that's what it says, Philippians 2:12. Have this attitude in yourselves that was in Christ Jesus, who did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped. You know what that is saying? Have an attitude in yourselves that you don't have to work towards anything to get a hold of God. He's already within. He's got a hold of you before you ever got a hold of him. That's Philippians 2:5. I didn't write the book. You guys with me on this? Because of the finished work. Come on, say, because of the finished work. This attitude, this hopeful attitude is this, what's said from the very beginning. I abide in him. Everyone say with me, I abide in him. If we don't see that, if it's not clearly assured yet, and it's going to be clearly assured because where everything's going right here, the teachings of the cross. If that's not clearly seen, what happens is we'll have a religious attitude of striving and judging. Trying to grasp and sweating it. Attitude includes imagination, includes pictures. You guys with me on this? So hope, hear me out. Hope is an attitude of a way of seeing, and then you find the reality. Am I making sense, you guys? This is beautiful. Hope brings light to the eyes. That's why it says that the eye be single, your body will be full of light. It brings an attitude of love. I'm telling you, an expectation of the presence of God. Hope brings an imagination to a good end. I'm telling you. You and I, you guys, we have a good end. That's what Pastor Karen said from the beginning. We have a good end. We have a good father. He just doesn't say, I love you, and then goes away. He says, I am working in you. Amen or amen, right? Amen. Hope means I look at you. Listen to this. I'm reading this from a definition. You know, get Bible Hub. It's a good application, Bible Hub. It means I look at you with a different look because I have a hope in me. Now I have a hope in you. I see the hope in you. Isn't that beautiful? Hope is a living hope. Hope gets into a conversation. Now, hear me out in this. Then, man, I'm really hungry. You guys are asking me all these questions. Stop it. Anyways, hope gets into a conversation. That's why this Christianity is not about religion. It's about a living hope. Paul the Apostle was the Pharisee of all Pharisees. When he met Jesus, he did not come into another religion. He came to the end of religion and stepped into a living hope. Am I making sense, you guys? Isn't God good? Hope doesn't, let me tell you, even without a word of the word hope, even without saying anything spiritual, it's the way we talk about life. Please, I'm saying this out of beloved lovingness. Please hear me out when I say this. We have to grow in this. Everyone say grow. Hope is always bubbling over with joy. God is the God of hope. That's why it says in Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in believing. That word believing is a strange word because there's really no real word for believe in the Greek culture's word definition. It's the word identity. To be identified with, that's what it means. To enjoy the identity. So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in that identity. So the word believe is a strange, trust me, I dug deep, man, as deep as I could go. I even called up Hebrews. Is there a word believe in the Hellenistic Jews? He says, no, there isn't. It's the word identity. Your new identity. Am I making sense, you guys? Hope is not optimism, man. That's not. And let me tell you where hope begins, and I'm done. It's not a passing happiness. It comes out in your eyes at the sound of your conversation. And that's why these unbelievers, I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you right now, unbelievers who do not see their new identity yet in Christ, they're going to come to you, not because you said the name of Jesus, it's how you talk about life with the hope of God inside of you. And that is the result of understanding what took place, because when Jesus was hanging on the cross, you were there with him. Amen? Everyone say, Jesus, help me. Eric, did you get my text? Did you get my text? If you look on your phone, I sent you a text of a... I know it got late, it got long, but I can't stress enough how unbelievers, and let me tell you what marks a person. This is what Jesus even gave the world the right not to believe what's going on in the church. The right was this: if you don't see love for one another, you have a right to question what they're believing. Loving one another with God's love that's coming upon you is the mark for the world to see you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's the mark, not how much you know, although that's important. Karen will testify, how many hours a day do I spend with Jesus just loving and because he so loves me. It's not discipline anymore. It's like, I can't wait to wake up in the morning. And phew, I'm an itinerant minister. I get to do this. And then find somebody to do table talks with. And watching this one homeless man that I've been meeting for the past year is no longer homeless. He has a job and he has a house. Because I never brought up his homelessness and drugs. And I just looked at his value and the cross and how God views him. I never told him what he must believe about God. I told everything what God believes about him. He's a changed man. He now writes poetry. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And some of you are facing such hard harassment, maybe from a spouse or family member or boss, whatever it is. I promise you, ask the Father, oh, let me see the treasure that's in them. Not like, you're a good person. Don't act like this. No, it was how God's opinion. Because once you breathe, you know what was going on with that homeless man? This is so true. The glory filled the table that he starts shaking every time I talked about God's opinion towards him. He started shaking. He goes, what's this I'm feeling? So that's called glory, but I don't want to talk about that. Amen? Did you guys get encouraged? I'm done. God is good, isn't he? It all begins with love. You know how that homeless man, how I started talking with him? I would see him give coffee. I see people give him coffee. I give him a sandwich. I see other people give him a sandwich. But he comes to my table out of the blue where I seek the Lord at Panera Bread. Out of the blue, he comes to my table. He says, hey, man. I'm like, hey, what's up? First time he's ever said, never said a word to me ever. He says, what's different about you? And I'm just at the table with computers, writing notes. I have 40 notebooks at home that's filled with notes that need to be written out as a book right now. I'm not exaggerating when I say I have 40 notebooks. I'm not exaggerating. Of reformational thoughts that have crept into the church belief system that has caused us to have the leaven of the Pharisees that causes us fear, separation, you know, not honoring each other, not valuing each other. You guys know what I'm talking about? But it's all going to shift. That's the new thing that God's doing. New doesn't mean something that's never happened before. New means something that should have been original, now that's been buried. Amen? Who's ready for this? Who's ready to look at your spouse with complete value? That no matter what they say, it may hurt, but keep going to love. It may hurt, abide in love. That you, there's complete value that you see God's value towards them. Then you draw that out. Love is not passive. Love's very aggressive. Amen? Thanks, Pastor Karen. You guys are awesome. So here's the altar call. Put on that sound if you could do it. I don't know. But sometimes we just move too fast, you know. But a lot was said. It really was. I mean, I wanted to cross some lines, but I didn't. You know, because it's line upon line. Priest to preacher, you know, sometimes you got to know something. And what if Jesus' first words came out of the, you know, you are Peter, or whatever it is. What if Jesus said, hey, I'm God in the flesh? No one would ever listen to him. You guys want to, they would have said, yeah, right, see ya. But instead, he met people where they were in their thinking. He met them in their darkness. And from the darkness brought up to where he was of his opinion that was towards them. Beautiful. I don't know. You guys got that set? No? It's all right. Don't worry about it. Can I tell you to do something every day? You know the only way to get this more deeper is be alone with him. That honestly, I got on my phone. I have these prophetic sounds of worship. You guys know what I'm talking about? Every morning, I put that sound on, and I call on him. He's within. He doesn't come down. He's already within. He comes out. You guys know what I'm talking about? And I call on his name. And all of a sudden, you start to get his opinion, his glory. You just melt. The first thing that this one girl, she was an alcoholic in our meetings. She was 19 years old, an alcoholic. Isn't that sad? You know? But she comes into the meetings, and all we're talking about is God's value towards her. She's delivered today. Isn't that really cool? But you know what happened was we put on the sound. All of a sudden, she went, phew. Peace is the first thing that people experience. You know why? Because God's at peace with us. Amen? Take time. He's at peace with you. The finished work of the cross, the blood of Jesus forever speaks. Forever. No, you don't know what I did yesterday. That's not the first thing he sees. The first things he sees is, oh, there's my son. There's my daughter. Isn't that beautiful? Religion will beat you up. Man, you got to repent. You got to do this. You got to do that. Man, look at you. You're a failure. Man, if you just understood the prodigal son. We talked about this last night over just sitting on the couch. We're talking about the prodigal son. Why the father ran out to the son. Why did that happen? All the history. You know, the eldest son was just as lost as the younger son. You know, I've been a slave for you all my life. You know, how many people are thinking you're a slave for God? I just serve God. You don't serve God. God lives through you. You don't serve him as if he needs anything. He, in him we live and move. Amen? Man, you better go before I start preaching. Isn't God good? I don't know where you want to take this.
Hallelujah. Do you want to minister to the people? They want to come up?
You know, to be honest with you, the only ministry I sense, and I said this to you when we were, is that you would not to move too fast on this and call on the Holy Spirit and do not let us lay hands on you, but let him lay hands on you. You guys know what I'm talking about? I believe in prayer. I really do. But there's something about this personal connection of your union with him. So.
Okay. Were they going to, what do you want to do? Okay. Oh, Ed said if you want to support him monthly, he has things for you to fill out. So are you going to put soaking music on or? Okay. Just, if you want to just stay here and just soak a little bit in the presence of the Lord and just invite him. More real. Yes.
Make this fully assured, Father.
More real. More real for you, Jeff. Yes. The fullness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just kind of sit here and just wait, but if you're anxious to leave to go to the back, I tell you to wear a jacket. It's very, very cold back there. But if you want to take advantage of the soaking, if they can get the thing on, I don't know what's going on with it, but whatever. Yeah, Ed and his food. Well, we just thank God for Ed and coming here and being with us. It was a good message about the cross. As I was preaching about the cross, and then he came and said, I'm going to preach about the cross. I was like, that's what I've been doing. Hallelujah. So he just added on to more revelation, more and more. Thank you, Jesus. So I am going to put the microphone down, and you could do whatever you like. You want to sit here, or you want to go in the back, or you want to go get a cup of coffee, whatever you want to do. Amen. Have a great and awesome week. Amen? Amen. Amen.